I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Amerks host Syracuse tonight at 7 on the proud home of Rochester Americans hockey. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
We're back in the sports bar. We have our listeners, our regulars here in the sports bar who tell us that this part of our show, their favorite part of the entire week. It's when we all become better and smarter Bills fans when Marcel Louis-Jacques from ESPN.com, ESPN NFL Nation, joins us in the sports bar. Marcel, interesting day today at One Bills Drive. How are you, bud?
I'm good. Yeah, interesting. Certainly got the internet talking a bit.
Yeah, can I just ask you the question open-ended so I'm not leading you one way or another? Can you paint a picture of how today's press conference with Sean McDermott went?
Yeah, I think what we saw today was just a more, let's see, how do I even paint this? More direct line of questioning here, more critical line of questioning here. Back when they're winning, you know, when you're winning games, when you start 6-2 and you get these ugly wins over whoever you want to throw out there, you know, it's hard to, there's a cap on the amount you can reasonably criticize a team. You know what I mean? Because the end is justifying the means here. Okay, it was ugly during, you know, the offense wasn't clicking, wasn't explosive, wasn't productive, but you still got to win. But if the offense is playing like that and you lose games, that's when, you know, you can't hide behind that the facade of, you know, the end justifying the means. That's when you got to start to answer for some of these shortcomings. And that's where we saw, you know, it's probably frustrating on Sean McDermott's part, but that comes with the trade, man. That comes with the job, comes with the whistle in the office. You got to be able to answer questions, criticisms about a part of your team that's not performing up to standard. And this offense right now is not performing up to standard. We've been talking about it all season that winning on the back of your defense is not a sustainable model, because that, you know, your defense, it holds people from scoring points, obviously, but it does not itself put points on the board. So, you know, if your defense, you know, holds another team scoreless, you don't score either, you're not getting a win. So you're going to have to be able to hold your weight, and you're going to have to be able to carry your weight here. And, you know, we haven't been seeing it. And there was a little tension there with Sean, but, you know, I think some of it was a little blown out of proportion. I don't think it's fair to compare Josh Allen's first 20 starts with Tyrod Taylor's final 20 with Buffalo, just because one is Tyrod was probably what he's going to be at that point, and Josh is still developing. I think it's probably fair to compare their first 20 starts, you know, Tyrod's first ever, you know, first 20 starts ever, and yada yada. But you know, I think we should probably hold off on the comparisons, you know, unless, you know, we're even in the playing field. And then the success rate question, the one that got everybody's talking about, the one that got him to walk out of the press conference. I think it was, at its heart, it was a good question. You know, I think it was, are you frustrated with the success rate of your offense? And Sean, I think, just wanted more specifics, because success can mean a lot to, you know, can mean a lot to different people. They're holding on to the ball for a long time. I believe 12th in average time of possession, that's success. They're 25th in scoring, though, that's not. So I think he was just looking for more specific, and it took a while to get that specific out, and I think that's where things boiled over. But still, it was about as upset as I think we've seen Sean McDermott this season. at a press conference.
Good. Look, I'm for it. Marcel, I want to see a little fire every now and then. And you know what? Bill Belichick doesn't give answers because he's won championships. I think that it's okay to press him a little bit. And I think the line of questioning, in the comparison aside between Tyrod and Allen, the line of questioning comes from an insecurity and a fear that we've seen this production for too long. Is this as good as it can possibly get with a Buffalo offense?
In its current state, I don't know. I don't know. I feel like we haven't seen it. We haven't seen this offense fully, perform to its full potential. I think when Singletary is getting a 20, 24, 25 touch workload, then yeah, I think that's probably closer to peak 2019 Bills than whatever we saw yesterday or on Sunday with Josh Allen throwing the ball 41 times. I don't think, and granted, Brian Daboll is forgetting more about football than I'll probably ever know, but I just feel like I don't think Josh right now is a guy who you're going to say throw that ball 40 times and we're going to win. I don't think that's a winning strategy at this stage of his career, especially when he's failing to complete that vertical pass, that deep pass, then 40 checkdowns, 40 intermediate routes, 40 10-yard routes that's not a threatening formula. That's not a threat to defenses when you're only going to complete 20, 22 of them. There's no balance right there. And I think I don't think there's an identity with the team right now. When you look at the Bills offense and you say, what kind of offense are they? And I don't know. Are they run heavy? Are they pass heavy? They've shown a willingness to pass, but it seems like they're better at running. So I think that they need to find that identity, and that's part of the challenge with Josh's development over the next year. Is they need to find an offensive identity before next year, because that's when that fifth year extension, that fifth year option starts becoming a prevalent point. That's when you are really going to have to be able to decide, this is our guy, and definitively say, this is our franchise quarterback. And right now, in his current stage of development, he's earned, some patience. I'll give him that. But I don't think anybody can definitively say one way or another if he is or isn't the guy.
Marcel, I would assume that there's a pretty good chance that we might have a scenario where the Buffalo Bills might find themselves tied or trailing late, and you've got to rely on the two-minute warning. From the people you've talked to this week and what you can kind of – what happened in Cleveland? Ball on the 41, 59 seconds remaining, and you get that. You get huddling up. How do you divvy up the blame there between head coach, offensive coordinator, the quarterback, whoever else? Because I would assume that that's got to be a point of emphasis moving forward.
Ultimately, that kind of stuff does fall on a coach, because you've got to have your team prepared to operate in a 2-minute offense. You've got to have that script. You've got to have that drilled into your quarterback's head, into your player's head. Get out of bounds. No huddle. These are the plays we're going to run. These are your checks, so on and so forth. And if we're going to have to point blame at anybody, it's right there. But that being said, that throw to John Brown, as questionable as that might have seemed on the surface, it was there. It was there. He delivers a good enough throw. That's a catchable ball. If you're settling for a field goal, then that's an incredibly makeable field goal, or you can take a shot at the end zone as well. But that wasn't necessarily a bad play. It was bad execution.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one is a lot easier to fault than the other.
Marcel, we also heard from Josh Allen today, who said that Coach McDermott's message to the offense, and I'm paraphrasing here, you were there, you can tell me if this is how it came out, but the idea that they need to play fearless, but also, not...
oh, what was the word that he used? Not
reckless.
Reckless, right. Don't play reckless, but play fearless. Something along those lines. I mean, just hearing the word reckless come out of Josh Allen's mouth kind of tells me that the fear that they've had with this quarterback since New England is don't turn the ball over at whatever the cost. Stop playing reckless with the football. But now the message is, hey, go out there and win us a game. Be fearless. What did you take from his comments today?
Yeah, and also, real quick, I think I misspoke earlier. I meant to say first 20 games with Tyrod Taylor. It's fair to judge his first 20 games because I think his first starts came in Buffalo. But yeah, I think you've seen reckless Josh Allen before. And that's when he's, you know, he's throwing three picks against New England. He's throwing picks against Cincinnati. That's taking unnecessary risk, and you know, that's trying to make something happen when there's nothing. But he more or less said it himself that he's scared to throw interceptions.
Yeah.
When asked about this vertical game, he said maybe he's you know, making sure he puts enough under it that he's not it's not going to get cut off by a trailing defender. It's not going to get picked off, and you know, that would explain some of these yips when pushing the ball downfield. But you do see him make fearless plays. That needle threader to Cole Beasley, I thought was one of the more impressive throws of the season, as was his, I believe, 20-25-yard completion to Robert Foster on that crossing route. I thought that was very impressive. He's done it. He's shown a propensity to do it, to play fearlessly. It's just... you know, he's just got to be. I think there is a little bit of that in there that they have drilled into his head how important it is, you know, for him to not give that ball away, and because the scoring opportunities are going to come few and far between with an offense in its current state, and I think he might be struggling with that internally. But you know, just like it's Sean McDermott's job to face criticism, it's Josh Allen's job to deal with that kind of pressure. You know, it's hard. Playing quarterback in the NFL is very, very hard. But there's a reason that they chose you to do it. You've got to be able to get past the mental aspect of it and go make plays.
Marcel Louis Jacques as the Bills this Sunday coming up in Miami. Want to ask you questions about the game. One question, the big topic in the NFL, Marcel, the Colin Kaepernick workout coming up on Saturday. And I know this is before you got to cover the team here, but I will not forget the day in 2016. Kaepernick, first game back, and it happens to be in Buffalo. And I remember thinking, yeah, I could never imagine that guy playing for the Buffalo Bills. But there are other teams right now that are saying we're going to send scouts. The Patriots have just, there's a report that they're going to send somebody down. Do we know if the Buffalo Bills are going to send a representative to the Colin Kaepernick Combine coming up on Saturday?
As of right now, we do not. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't. And I don't think it has nothing to do with his protest. It has nothing to do with his beliefs. It has nothing to do with what he's standing for. I think it has everything to do with, it's week 11 right now. They've got a young guy that they're developing, and they've got a veteran backup who's been in the system a year and a half, 2 years. There's not a lot of reason to add another quarterback. At the same time, if Josh Allen for some reason gets hurt, it probably wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't kill them to have info on Colin. But either way, I see both sides of this coin right now. I do at my core think that this was a way for the NFL not to out teams who are inherently interested in Colin Kaepernick. It's a way of them saying, okay, well, if you want to sign him, but you don't want the PR storm to deal with it, well, then we'll just have everybody go. And it wouldn't surprise me. I'm not putting it past the NFL to do that. In a sense, it can be a PR stunt. But at the same time, there's millions of dollars in jobs on the line. So if teams show up there, if the team thinks that he can help the team, then he's going to end up on the team. If you disagree with it, you know, it's 2019. It's been 3 years. You got to read up on that. Like, you've got to be informed on what he is protesting. Whether you like how he's doing it or not, you know, it's his right as an American to do so. I don't think it's hurting anybody. I think the people who, you know, people who are the perceived victims here or the perceived disrespected with his protest during the anthem have outwardly supported him. So I think that, you know, it's about that time that we get past. It's about that time we get past the anger. We get past the disgust, the hatred. You know, I covered Eric Reed last year. I can vividly remember so much of this vitriol from people who refused to do some research on their own. And I think, you know, if he can play, let him play. And it should be that simple. There are people who have done so much worse that have jobs, that are getting workouts in the NFL, for us to be, you know, upset about a man who's protesting police brutality and systemic oppression.
Marcel, I'd like to make a prediction for Sunday's game. My prediction is that the Buffalo Bills' run defense is going to look a lot better than it's looked the last few weeks, because Miami's lead back, I want to say, is Kalen Ballage, who isn't very good at professional football. What say you about this game and the matchups that might be exploited? Is this going to come down to this Bills' defense really trying to contain and keep Ryan Fitzpatrick in check, something that they, let's face it, they struggled with in Orchard Park?
Hey, man, raise up off my man, Kalen Ballage. That's the Sun Devil in the NFL.
Oh, I'm sorry, Marcel. I didn't mean no disrespect to you as a Sun Devil now.
No, but you are right. He's not as effective a runner as Kenyon Drake or Mark Walton were. If you are going to figure it out, if you're going to get that defense and or that confidence and that muscle memory of stopping inside zone, it's going to be against a team who can't run inside zone very well. I'd be more concerned right now because Ryan Fitzpatrick's playing with so much confidence, and that's where you see Fitzmagic start to trickle in here. And I think he's yet to have really that explosive game that, you know, of legend that represents the legend of Ryan Fitzpatrick. But you know, he's playing well right now, and the Bills have a budding issue opposite Tre'Davious White. We're starting to see teams attack Levi Wallace a little bit more, and while he was having a good season leading up to about maybe 2 weeks ago, some of his faults are starting to show. Some of the and granted, Jarvis Landry is a tough cover for anybody in the league, and Levi Wallace is just in his second year. But I wouldn't be shocked to see them continue the trend and keep chasing after Wallace with some smaller, shiftier guys and try to confuse him. And try to isolate him as well, because that's what worked like a charm for Cleveland last week. But no, I would expect that this run defense, you know, turns in a lot better showing. Miami did run for 109 yards last time around, but like you said, with no Mark Walton, with no Kenyon Drake, I'm not sure Kalen Ballage is putting up that kind of number.
Well, in the corner opposite Trey White, might we see a switch at some point? And tell us, that is Kevin Johnson a viable option if the Bills decide to go down that road?
You know, anytime you hear a coaching staff say, you know, we're discussing all options, anytime they don't outwardly support a guy, then yeah, you're inclined to believe that a change is underway, and it could very well be the case. But this is also a coaching staff that likes to send messages. That's what they've done with Ed Oliver this year. They want to send messages to their players that, you know, your spot is not guaranteed, that you're going to have to earn this every day of the week. And that's where we're going to learn a lot about Levi Wallace this week, to see, you know, can you get right? Can you get it together here? You know, but Kevin Johnson, he's a former first-round pick for a reason. The talent is there. You know, injuries kind of derailed him a little bit. And it just being slow to put everything together. But, you know, he's a viable option. And I was kind of surprised, you know, or I'd be surprised if they didn't put in a waiver claim for Vernon Hargraves. I think that's another guy at a position in need that might have been able to help out. But, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing how Levi Wallace responds, because I do think he's one of the more underrated players on this team. And especially when it comes to cornerbacks, negative plays stand out more than positive. You know, you rarely are going to say, unless you're seeing him swat balls and intercept passes, you're rarely going to see, you know, you see people say, wow, he's playing well. This corner's playing well. That's why Trey White, that's why Xavien Howard, guys like that go so long without being known until they get paid, because trademark of a good corner is not hearing about yourself.
You mentioned something there in your answer about Ed Oliver. If you can expand on that, are they sending him a message? Because we've seen his snap counts go down here. Where are we at with Ed Oliver here in year one?
And, you know, I asked Sean about that last week, and he said that Ed has responded in a manner that they wanted him to respond. Obviously, tight-lipped Sean McDermott's not going to go into the exact message there. But I think they wanted to give him a wake-up call. Maybe they thought he was getting complacent, or they thought, you know, maybe he wasn't elevating his play. He, you know, day one starter, almost from the first practice at training camp. Maybe just wants to put that fear in him, that fear of God in him, that, you know, you can lose your spot at any given week. It doesn't matter how high you've been picked. So I think it is interesting, and especially that they brought in Corey Leggett, and he played, I believe it was only six fewer snaps than Ed did on Sunday. Last week, Vincent Taylor only played nine fewer snaps than Oliver did. You know, it's just showing him, you know, we will move on. We will move forward with guys who are bringing it every day. So, you know, once again, looking forward to seeing how this rookie responds and how this impacts his career moving forward.
Marcel, let everybody know what you're working on this week at ESPN.com.
Got a couple long form pieces that I'm putting groundwork in on. I don't want to give it away too quickly. You know, I hate doing that. I hate withholding information from y'all, but just know it's stuff that I'm excited to be working on. It's stuff that I think you're going to enjoy a lot. It just stuff that continues to paint these guys in the Bills locker room as more than football players. And ultimately, I think that's my most important job here, is to bridge that gap between fans and players and let you know that, you know, they might look like gladiators on Sunday, but they're, you know, just as human as you and I every other day of the week. So just keep an eye out for that. One in particular should be coming out Thanksgiving week, and I think it's going to be pretty major. So just hang on with me, stay patient, and I promise I'll tease it a little more when the time comes.
Ooh, can only imagine. Marcel, appreciate your time. Have a great week, and thanks so much.
Always. Y'all do the same. Talk to you next Wednesday.
You got it. Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN.com. Covering the Bills, ESPN's NFL Nation. Great stuff from Marcel, as always, and we'll get that for you shortly on demand. Just search out the Sports Bar inside the radio.com app, and all of our guest appearances are listed for you right there. You can listen anytime, anywhere.
It wouldn't surprise me if they rotate Kevin Johnson in for a series or two. This would be the week to do it. You don't want Ryan Fitzpatrick locking in on the Dolphins' second receiver, please.
No, listen, if Levi Wallace can't cover the Dolphins' second receiver, you have a big problem.
Yeah.
I don't know that you need to put Kevin Johnson out there this week. I think this is the week. Hey, Levi, you want to keep this starting job? Then don't let this guy get over on you. Jesus. It's the Dolphins. Oh, I'm sorry. They won two in a row.
Ooh.
Okay.
Ooh.
Okay. Let's get to NFL appetizers. We serve up today's top NFL stories in bite-sized form in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Appetizers brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place. Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years, online at alexsribs.com.
Some flex scheduling notes. We're going to pass along notes from the Giants, Colts, and more, and we'll tell you which coach got a vote of confidence today.
Yes. Good news for the Buffalo Bills. It's on the way next. NFL appetizers in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports Leader, ESPN Rochester.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.